building our house on the rock. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Somebody should get up and do what needs to be done. They should get up and they should wash the filthy feet of all the disciples and of Jesus. This is one of the most moving moments in all of the Gospels. John chapter 13 has so much meaning for us. The whole thing begins with saying that he loved them to the end. Do we understand the love of Christ? Do we even begin to grasp its depths? This is the scene before us. They have been traveling, and it's Passover week, and ritual cleansings are on everyone's mind. Well, here's what happened. Luke tells us that as they were preparing for the Passover, there was a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. So they walked into the upper room. There are all the seats. I can just imagine what happened. Hey, who gets to sit next to Jesus? Well, who's done more? Who's greater? Look at all that I've done. And Jesus would have been, of course, at the head of the table. So whoever was at the low end, whoever was at the last chair, probably knew he had to go and towel up and do what nobody wanted to do. All these guys all throughout have been concerned about themselves. They've argued about their own greatness on the road, and here they're doing it again. Jesus had to put up with so much. Philip in the next chapter doesn't even know him. Peter will deny him. All of them will walk away from him. Thomas says, I'm not even going to believe unless. Jesus knows all this is happening. And then a capstone it all there. Among his own intimate circle of friends, there's one sitting there who's going to betray him. The devil has entered the room. We read in verse 2 that during the supper, the devil, having put it in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, one of Jesus' own disciples, whom he's about to serve the supper to, wash his feet, is going to betray him under direct demonic influence. I asked the question yesterday, what do you expect at this point? They all want to exalt themselves. And you see all of this confusion, all of this self-exaltation, all of this promotion, all of this betrayal is set in contrast to the character and the actions of Jesus. It's a really moving moment. Verse 3 is absolutely amazing. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he had come from God and was going to God, rose up. That is an amazing verse. Jesus knew it all. And the text is saying really something else. It's saying this to us. Jesus, knowing his own greatness, knowing of the glory that was his before the world was, and the glory that he was returning to, Father, glorify me together with you with the glory that we had before the world was. He knew all of that was his. And he gets up. Now, this is really going to mean something to us today when we understand what's happening here. The Lord is displaying the depths of his love. The disciples are going to see the unfolding of his glory and his purpose for coming on this earth, which they just have not yet understood. There in the corner, verse 3, was the water, the basin, and the towel. And listen to verse 4. So knowing all this, he rose from the supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. Remember, he would have been at the head, and right in front of them, this argument has happened, remember, of who's the greatest. He rises up. I would imagine everything went silent. And right in front of them, he walks all the way to the bottom of the table, right in front of their eyes. Now, if you trim down verse 4 and you understand exactly what's being said to you in verse 4, he rose from the supper, he laid aside his garments, he took a towel and girded himself. Trim it down for a minute. He rose, he laid aside, and he took to himself. Does that sound familiar? I'm convinced that when the Apostle Paul was thinking a lot about Philippians, Philippians chapter 2, under the inspiration of the Spirit drafting that, this was on his mind. He made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a slave, and he became obedient to the point of death. This, dear listener, is a whole parable of his incarnation. Right in front of them, he sits at the head and he visually transforms himself into a slave. This is what the slaves of the house would do. They would gird themselves, wearing nothing but this cloth to show their slave role. Now, I trust I don't need to remind us here on Abounding Grace who this is. This is the Lord of glory. This is the King of kings. This is God incarnate. And sometimes I fear that a text like this is so familiar to us, does it really have the impact that it should? The one through whom all things were made, all power and authority belonged, got up, and in front of them, in front of us today in this text, he became a slave. You see, Jesus is visually showing his love for them. He's acting on that love. And you see this in verse 5, that after he poured water into a basin, he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. And it concludes with, when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, he sat down again and he said to them, "Do you know what I've done to you?" That's the million-dollar question in this text, isn't it? The reality is, we still don't, as we should. And that's where this really takes off today, and I want you to think a whole lot about Peter's response. Peter is totally repulsed by this whole thing. In verse 6, he asks the Lord, he says, "Do you wash my feet?" Emphasis there. You are washing my feet. And I can think about what Peter's ready to say here, what he's thinking. "I'll gladly wash yours, but you are not touching mine." It sounds very pious, doesn't it? This act is what Gentile dogs do, meaning Jesus knows and recognizes they have no idea what this means. And remember, they're still all worried about their own greatness, getting in life from their brother recognition. And you see, this is what the text is driving us to see, that Jesus is doing all of this because they don't understand. In other words, look at how he's dealing with them in their failure to understand. Think about verse 7. He's washed them and he says, "What I'm doing right now, you don't understand, but afterward, you will." Why not just make it plain now? Why not, Lord, just open up their understandings and tell them exactly what this means so that they understand it? Can he do that? Sure, he can do that. We know that in the next chapter, he says that the Holy Spirit will make very clear and bring to their remembrance what all these things mean. But we really do need to understand this. The point of the passage is to demonstrate what Jesus was like to them in their misunderstanding. What do I mean? Peter's not accepting this. He can't move beyond the social implication of this. Jesus, Lord, our Lord is washing our feet? And that drives us to verse 8, where Peter raises a big denial. In verse 8, he says, "You shall never wash my feet." And that response, right then and there, exposes to the greatest degree the problem of our hearts. The problem is really clear here, isn't it? They don't understand the purpose for which he's come. They're being set apart to represent what they themselves don't understand they need. And this is about, listen, this isn't just about us serving the Lord, is it? Peter, we're here. Peter's thinking is this: we're here to do something for you. There is no doubt in my mind, Peter was thinking, I will wash your feet, Jesus. This is not about you getting down to do mine. And here maybe we're beginning to see how close to him this our thinking really is. Is it really so far from us today? Why do you go to worship? Why did you go to worship this past Sunday? You say, well, I'm there. I go to worship the Lord. And I ask, well, who do you think has the need? If you're honest, you came with the mindset of Peter to worship, that you're coming offering something up to God. And what do we offer to God? Well, in worship, we have about three things we offer up to God. We have what? We've got music, singing, we give an offering, and we pray. Those are things that we're presenting, aren't we? We're doing. And I'm pretty sure it's in us that if we have the best music, if we're really faithful in our giving, and if we offer the most meaningful prayers, we're really getting close to Jesus today, aren't we? Isn't that in us? We're really not so different than Peter, are we? Is it really that bad? Is it bad enough that you have to, listen, it's bad enough you have to wash their feet, but not mine. I'm not taking a handout here, Jesus. Get off your knees. You don't have to do that for me. I'll do it for you. Isn't this following thing about us doing something for you? Never, says Peter, will you wash my feet. And it's at this point that Jesus responds, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. What Jesus was saying was, my washing identifies you with me. If you refuse this washing, you have no connection to me. You have no part with me. You have no inheritance. What a perspective today about need, is it? When we come to him, dear listener, who's stretching out hands? Who is offering and who's receiving? And is this not the great confusion today? Because how I understand this is how I'm going to value what's happening when I come before him. In other words, do you think we have such lethargy today across the board in worship because people have fundamentally misunderstood Jesus still? They've misunderstood his mission. Dear listener, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. He'll serve you. He'll wash you. But you've got to hold out your feet and realize that you are the one that is filthy, that you are the one that needs that service, and that only Jesus can wash you from all of your sin. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are a listener-supported program, and we humbly ask both for your prayerful and financial support. Write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264. agradio.org is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.
Hi, I'm Pastor Steve Swetz of Emmanuel Covenant Reformed Church in Abbotsford. I invite you to hear biblical preaching and God-centered worship every Sunday at 10 and 3:30 in the afternoon at Emmanuel Covenant Reformed Church in Abbotsford. You can find us at 35063 Page Road in Abbotsford. Our website is abbotsfordurc.org. We are a church that emphasizes Jesus Christ alone as our way of reconciliation with God.